Okay, to go back where we were before the 9 days, or the 3 weeks, whatever. We were learning the dinim of kosher food, about milchiks and fleishiks, and how long you have to wait, and all that. Now, there's a very practical din that, for whatever reason, it's not as strictly enforced as it should be. If you have wine, or meat, or fish, and according to many opinions, cheese, that is delivered or brought by a non-Jew from a kosher establishment or from a private kosher person, it has to have a double seal. If it doesn't have a double seal, halachically, you're not allowed to use it. Now, there's certain leniency that I'll soon discuss. In other words, practically speaking, especially today, they have a lot of takeouts, right? You get a delivery from a restaurant, and the guy is the delivery boy, whatever, and they deliver it in a bag, a box, whatever, and there's no seal on it. There's no tape or whatever, a double seal. So there's a big shana halacha, basically says you're not allowed to eat it. Then there are certain leniencies. If you call the restaurant and they tell you exactly the way it was shipped and the way they sent it and how it was put in the box and it matches everything exactly, so then up within you, the dievid, you know, in a case of need, you can rely on it. What's the problem? Because halacha says we're afraid that a guy will change it for non-kosher food. And whatever, so because of that. But that's a din shulchan aruch. And a lot of times, restaurants deliver food, because the rabbanim get this question a lot of times. Restaurants with a good hashkacha, yet when they send delivery boys, they don't seal it in a way. Now, I'll give you an example of a double seal. Wine, a bottle of wine, let's say it has a cork, yeah? So the cork is one seal, sealed, and then they have a tape around it, right? So therefore, that's called a double seal. If, let's say, it wouldn't have the tape around it, or a cap, or for that matter, wine that a bottle that has a cap, not a cork. So again, that would only be one seal. If it has a cap and a seal around it, so that's called a double seal. So if, let's say, a bakery will send a delivery of a box or a bag, and the bag is just an open bag, that's only one seal. So therefore, it's no good. So they would have to seal the bag, and I saw already a lot of places do it. They actually seal the bag with a seal that you have to break it open, you have to cut it. So then, you know, if it's cut, then you know for sure it was touched and by the guy, and that's it. Now, if it's delivered by a Jew, then I'll be then you can rely on it. But if it's not, it needs to be, you know, taped up or sealed up in a way that if the person would open it, you would know that.
You said bakery, as in bakery goods?
Many poskim hold bakery goods also. The main thing is the wine, meat, eggs, and according to many opinions, cheese. Moshe, they say bread, one seal's enough. But again, for bread, and they're much more lenient than they are by meat, wine, and cheese. You know, years ago, or even if you go overseas, one second, if they have the airlines have the kosher meals, right? And then, so sometimes the airlines will bring it to you before they heat it, that you should like cut the seal, that you should see it's double wrapped. A lot of times what they do is they'll just heat it up in their microwaves, whatever, and then they'll bring it to you and it's double sealed. So that's also good because it came with a double seal. That's why all the kosher companies have a double seal in the airline meals or those TV dinners, whatever you want to call them, because it actually needs a double seal. What? Those, you mean if it's delivered like that? Yeah, but sometimes the meat itself is packaged.
Cheese?
Okay, but by cheese, most opinions are maker with one seal. It's a kid who also says, that's a sealed bag. If anybody opened it, you'd be able to, yeah, but you'd be able to know right away if somebody opened it. But if you get from the store an open thing of cheese.
Sliced cheese.
Yeah, sliced cheese that's opened, you'd have a problem.
Open bag is considered a seal.
Open bag? What do you mean? How's an open bag called a seal? No, bakery, the maker with one, just the fact that it's in a bag or with a tie around it, you know, that's enough. Same thing with bread. Same thing with bread.
But if the bread comes with a baguette comes in an open bag, it's still considered one seal?
Not if it's an open bag.
No.
No?
Only if it has a seal. Like
right.
Seal.
Right.
So what's the double seal then? How is the double seal?
I told you, if you have a bag, let's say technically, they have a regular bag, and then they staple it.
That's called double seal.
That's a double
so
seal.
Without the staple, it's a single. It's
right. A, that's what I said, but it's not going to work bag. For meat.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
How about the convert?
The what?
If you know this guy is a convert Jew.
Halacha Jew. Yeah. Then he's a Jew.
Yeah.
A Papi converted Jew is 100% Jewish. Okay. Okay. These are not so practical. Okay. Another dinner is like this. You're not allowed to make bread with milk. You can't knead the liquid of bread. Cannot have milk. Why? So it says in Halacha, because bread is something which is normally eaten with meat. I mean, normally you eat bread with meat also. So somebody's going to make a dairy bread and people won't know if it's milk or meat, and by mistake, they'll eat it with the meat meal because it looks the same. Therefore, Halacha says, if it looks differently than normal bread does, or you make a small amount that you're going to be using up at one time, then you're allowed to. That's mushroom pizza. Everybody knows this pizza is milk. I mean, everybody knows that's the way it's made. Nobody makes a... Unless if you have pepperoni pizza, which is straight. But then it doesn't matter anyway. So then it's shaped differently and then it's not a problem. But or if you make a small amount, then you make sure to finish it. Otherwise, you're not allowed to. Also, another din, which people make a lot of times a mistake with. You're not allowed to bake meat and fish in the oven at the same time. Unless if at least one of them is very properly covered. Because when you bake, let's say you have two open pans in the oven at the same time. You have your chicken and you have fish. You're baking your fish and meat at the same time in the oven. Now, because it's in the oven, it steams up. So you have steam from fish, steam from meat, and they go into all over the place. So you ending up getting fish in the meat and meat in the fish. Which is not allowed to be eaten. You can't eat meat and fish together, Halacha says. So therefore, if one of them is tightly sealed, so halachically it's good, because then the taste is not going to go into the pan that's covered. So then it's, and the taste in the pan that's covered is not going to go into the other pan either. So therefore, that's okay. Better, some people like to have it, both should be covered, because then you have less of a problem that maybe there's a hole in one of them, whatever. But I can't tell you how many times Friday afternoon I get calls from people. They baked fish and meat in the oven at the same time. And the problem is they have to throw it all out. Not the pans. The pans are not trade. But you can't... What? Halachically, you could double seal the dairy and do it at the same time. But the custom is not to... Because, you know, you can make a mistake. And then again, you're really doing trace. By the way, there's another very important thing. If an oven is not clean, it poses a lot of halachic problems. In other words, as a lot of rabbis or women teachers of halacha will tell you, that a kitchen that is not clean... Can you assume that it's treif? It's pretty sharp, but this is the reality of it. Why? Because inevitably, I'll give you a simple example. You had an oven that wasn't used for fleishiks for 24 hours. It wasn't used for meat for 24 hours. And then somebody by mistake baked meat milk in it after 24 hours. So we learned already it's a blemished taste, and then up and then it's okay. But what happens if the oven's not clean? What happens if the oven has meat in it? I mean, dirt, but on the shelves, and you have meat on it. So it's not going to help the fact that it wasn't used 24 hours. You're going to build a milk pan on top of dirty meat. That's, yeah, it's on the rack, but still, it's a problem. If the oven's clean, it wasn't used for 24 hours, then you don't have a problem. But if the oven's dirty, then... So after I learned from experience already, one of the questions you have to ask, not only was it wasn't used for 24 hours, but you have to ask, was the oven clean? Which is a very important question, but I want to know. No, if it's meat, it's not pogum. Blemish taste, it's clear in halacha. It's only what's the absorption in the walls of the pot, then after 24 hours, that taste is blemished. Substantial meat or milk, after 10 years, if it's substantial meat or milk, it's not blemished, because it's substantial. Blemished is only after 24 hours if it was only what's absorbed in it.
Yeah, like, bottom of the potato kugel, in a throwaway pan, tin foil pan.
Yeah.
In an oven that's warming up, let's say, your meat for Shabbos.
The meat is covered or uncovered?
No, the meat was, like you said, it's covered tight.
Yeah.
Then, but the kugel, you want it to get brown.
No, I understand. So again, if the meat is covered,
right,
and the pan of kugel, so then technically the kugel is an inflation.
It remains powdered. But you shouldn't have dairy with it.
You shouldn't eat it directly with dairy.
Like cheese on it.
Correct. But if the oven wasn't, I mean, if the meat wasn't covered,
then it becomes fleishig.
It becomes fleishig, and it's possible and probable it's 6 hours fleishig. If you have meat in a pan that's open, yeah, and it's cooking,
and
so there's steam coming up from the meat, correct? Now you have a pyrrha kugel that's next to it. And that taste of the meat, because of the walls and the top is okay. So now you have literally fleishiks in the
kugel.
So now the only question is the meat steam that came into the kugel, is it bottled in 60? Not, but how are you going to know that? There's no way you'll know it. What?
Sorry, maybe unrelated. If you have a sauce and you take a spoon that is milk.
Hot sauce or cold sauce?
Hot sauce, but it's in the fridge there.
I don't mean hot, spicy. I mean the sauce is hot.
Cold sauce.
Cold sauce, yeah.
But you use a milk maker's spoon to take something out of it.
Yeah.
But then later on.
The sauce doesn't become milk.
It doesn't change.
Unless if you had dairy on the spoon.
No,
because a lot of times people are cooking. You have no idea the questions we get. You can have people cooking two things next to each other. Sometimes even milchiks and fleishiks, which is not a good thing to do ever. And then by mistake, they don't think, people don't think. They take the spoon that they're mixing the cheese, macaroni and cheese with, and they put it into the fleishik pot. Or into a pyrrha soup. Now, it's a whole dish hot and it's milk. I mean, it's a whole. Then the only shot is bottles, not bottles. It's nullified, 1 in 60, not. It's not so simple, all these dinners. People have to be careful. And therefore, as I mentioned before, if a kitchen is clean, the probability of it being kosher is much more than if the kitchen is not clean. I mean, that's just a simple fact. Okay, not practical nowadays.
If you have a pot that you're not sure that you got it, and somebody uses it, and you don't know...
Do they keep kosher or not?
Pardon?
Do they keep kosher or not?
No, they don't keep kosher.
And you got it from them?
You got it from the pot.
So the pot's not kosher?
How do you kosher? Can you kosher it?
It depends on the material. If it's material that... Then you could kosher it in boiling hot water. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. First you kosher, then you take it to mikvah. Anybody saying Kaddish?